Hello, good people of podcasts. It's Catherine Murphy, political editor of Guardian Australia, back with another episode of Australian Politics Live, the podcast. Given this week is heavy in terms of economic data, I thought I would reconvene our little, what's the collective noun?
Cartel.
For you? Well, that's possible. Cartel of economic stats and facts bods. That we gather periodically to discuss matters economic. So sitting on my left, you don't care whether he's on my left, but he is for the purposes of this introduction, is Greg Jericho.
Hello.
Sitting on my right is Gareth Hutchins.
Hello there.
And, oh, I forgot I was off mic. And sitting to Gareth's right, by some strange coincidence, is Shane Wright.
It's hard being right. That's all I'm saying.
And in case you're not a regular listener of the podcast, Greg, of course, does Grogonomics for Guardian Australia. Oh, sorry, we are to refer to Greg as the Walkley Award-winning. Yes, sorry. Yes, numbers stats. Gareth looks after economics for Guardian Australia, and Shane Wright is the economics editor for the West Australian newspaper and our neighbour and an all-around great fellow and a person who can be relied upon to get either an 80s music reference or a joke into a stats podcast.
And somewhere along the line it may happen in the same sentence, so beware listeners.
And also beware listeners that he's also got a scam involving a quokka, which I can't believe won't appear over the next 15 minutes or so. Anyway, just don't say you weren't warned. Let's start because, as I said at the beginning, this week is a sort of economics heavy week. We've had the new GDP figures. So this is a wonderful opportunity for me to have a quick tutorial about where the economy is at based on this data. Greg, why don't you start? Where is the economy at?
Not in a really good place, if we're perfectly frank. The March quarter came in at growing at 0.3%, which was around what everyone was kind of expecting. Quarterly figures on their own are a bit sort of fudgy, and you don't want to sort of focus too much on just one quarter. But if we look at over the past year, the economy only grew by 1.4%, which is pretty pathetic, really.
Crap.
We now sort of think that the long-term average growth that the economy grows at is around 2.75, 2.8%. So we're half of that, which is not good. And the problem is, for me, is that it's something we're kind of almost getting used to. A little sort of stat I sort of came across when I was looking at all the numbers was it's now 18 quarters, so 4.5 years where we haven't.
Hang on a minute. Have you got a something that is not a celebratory milestone to share?
No, it's not a record.
It's not a
record. Well, it is a record, but it's a crap record.
Sorry, Greg, as you were.
It's been 4.5 years since the economy grew at more than 3% in a year, which is the longest stretch that we've ever had, going back to when the ABS started doing these figures in the 1960. And it really is this sense of we're not really in a period of the great moderation that we had after the 1990 recession, where there'd be no more boom and bust. We'd just have this nice solid run. Now we're kind of in the great meh of just of the economy not sort of going to hell, and we're not going into any sort of great recession of any sort, but we're not seeing those nice little periods where we have a little spike where things can just get a good kick along and then we go back to sort of average. We're just staying below average, average at best. And it's really, I can't see an end to it at the moment.
We're just not getting ahead, I think, and that's what people are feeling. And I think one of the interesting figures out of the national accounts is real unit labour costs, okay? And they have fallen by 6% over the last 12 months, which is the biggest fall in 12-month period. Now, to get a little bit technical, businesses have been complaining for some time about their heavy costs, and they're these are falling. And one of the ways they used to be able to do it was with the Australian dollar moving up and down. That's not what's going on. The Australian dollar hasn't moved really in the last 12, 18 months. So the heavy lifting in terms of that is on wages. And everyone knows that wages are going nowhere and have been for the best part of 3 years. And so when Grog's talking about the great meh, yeah, it's a bit of yeah, nah, on, in terms of people wanting wage growth. So, for instance, we've had the decision by the Fair Work Commission to lift the minimum wage by 3.3%. So all the people on the lowest incomes in the country are going, yay, except for the day before they found out from the Fair Work Commission that we're going to cut penalty rates.
Oops.
So you're getting that giving one from the other, taken from the other, from the other side. So that's what's playing through. So economic growth is there, but it's not being felt, and particularly not in that most important nerve, the hip pocket.
Mm. And Gareth, what do we need to do to somehow get wages growth happening again? What do we need to do?
Well, if I had that job, I'd be Prime Minister. Interesting point to make, though, is that corporate profits are doing exceptionally well. They're up about, 30 to 40%?
40%, yeah.
And so nominal GDP, which is the money we get for the products we produce, is up about 7.7, 7.8% on the year. And that's all in corporate profits. Hardly any of that's coming from wages growth.
And, well, hang on a minute, because this is a new fact for me, corporate profits. So why are corporate profits up that much?
Well, let's just take the banks, for instance. They're enjoying a pretty good year. Another good point to raise at this point would be a speech that Andrew Leigh has made this week talking about the problems with Australian industries, where a majority of them have only 3 to 4 firms running them, basically. Mm-hmm. And the banking industry is one of those. They're enjoying exceptional profits at the moment. In the GDP figures out this week, they're growing the finance sector is 4%.
Mm.
Very different to other sectors.
Yeah, put your beret down for 1 second, because I think some of it is to do with...
Oh, hang on a minute. I was about to throw lazy oligopoly into the mix.
You really are off over on the far right there, the far Shane. Right.
No, but some of this is actually the terms of trade.
Yeah.
And that's pretty clear that there've been... if you look at what happened to coal prices early in this quarter... and if you go back through the entire 12 months, the mining sector has copped some really big increases in income because iron ore went up and has now come down, and coal went absolutely through the roof. Like, it was absolutely stupid because the coal miners of Queensland and to a lesser extent New South Wales couldn't get their coal out. So because we're the largest coal exporter in the world price went up. So what you've seen is the terms of trade, and it's a function of how the GDP figures work, and that means, whooshka, we've got these huge lift in corporate profits, but they are limited to a large extent to the mining sector, and the mining sector, as we know, is carrying a lot of losses, which they will inevitably try to find a way to offset those profits because you don't want to pay the tax man anything too much. And so banking profits have increased, but they're not they are large, but they're nothing going through the roof like what we're going to see in the mining sector once. So look at BHP. BHP recorded a loss last year. They will record a fairly sizable profit this year. It's a matter of how much of that ends up in the pockets of Scott Morrison and team via the tax system.
But again, it's sort of like whacking back the mare. Right. And obviously none of us has a straightforward answer to the question for how we give the economy a kick in the pants, how we give workers some relief in their hip pocket. But there are a couple of ways you could do it. Obviously, tax cuts would be one way if you were in the screw the budget frame of mind. Also, toughening up Australia's industrial relations regulations so that workers could actually leverage the system to get better wage outcomes seems to be another potential solution, and it'd be interesting to see if we see that conversation at the next federal election, in essence, between what the major parties have on offer. But these are all long-term solutions. So what does our met economy mean for the budget forecasts? Shane, why don't you start?
I think young Gareth touched on it pretty well in terms of the nominal GDP. That's where you're looking. That's what delivers the increase in especially in the corporate section, your tax increases. And this budget is predicated on some of the biggest increases in company tax collections that the country has ever seen. It is, when people talk about whether the budget's optimistic or pessimistic, one main focus is on wages. And these figures that we've seen give you no hope that wages are going to lift anytime soon. But the other is corporate tax collections. And like, it is hard to believe just how much they're going to increase. Taking aside, say, the mining sector, which will go out of its way to minimise how much tax it pays, this doesn't tell you how the rest of the corporate Australia is going to pay the increase in tax that will help Scott Morrison get back to budget surplus.
And also going on with the wages, where the budget does hope that we'll get really strong wages growth in the next couple of years, 2-3 years, often wages are nicely linked with nominal GDP growth or also with company profits growth, and that's not happening at the moment. But the problem is we're seeing this, in a sense, almost record growth in company profits, and wages are going the other way. No one expects that growth in company profits to keep going, so it's going to go back to normal. But in the meantime, we're still going to have wages going down. So you're not going to get a sense of wages are going to catch up in any time soon. It's almost so I don't see any prospects for that wages growth that the budget is relying on. And when you couple it with the fact that that especially the mining companies have been recording losses over the past year, which brings with it the opportunity to offset profits and avoid paying company tax. It will be interesting to see how well those figures of nominal GDP growth marry up with what they hope to get with revenue growth. And I think what we're seeing a little bit of at the moment is things in the economy are not working in sync the way they used to work in sync. GDP growth isn't leading to the same level of employment growth that we used to have. Employment growth is not leading to wages growth like we used to. It's all a bit sort of off because there's perhaps more part-time employment now than there was in the past. Employment, talking about IR regulation, is a lot more flexible, and so there is a lot more leeway for companies to take on people on contracts rather than there needing to be ongoing employment. So all of that is serving to depress wages growth in a way that it didn't in the past, where we'd say, oh, the economy's growing at 3%. That means unemployment will probably fall a little bit and wages will grow at about 3% as well. That's just, it's all not kind of happening well. And I, to be honest, I'd hate to be working in Treasury trying to forecast out how these things, because, yeah, the equations aren't quite adding up like they used to.
Mm. And so in summary thus far, we've got the economy marked as a met and we've got the budget forecast marked as a fail. Gareth, any other thoughts about that?
Well, economists from NAB this week put out an interesting paper saying that traditional models of wages growth have underestimated the degree of spare capacity in the market. They're saying that if you take into account the degree of underemployment, that gives us a much better understanding of what's going on. Now, Greg has been writing about this a lot, but it just means that it goes to show that so many changes have been occurring in the economy over the last 10, 15 years that all the models we're used to working with that are have been able to predict things quite well are starting to break down. Mm-hmm. And so that's why everybody's scrambling, everyone in Treasury, everyone in the private banks, just trying to figure out where things are going. And that's why you've got this because it's a kind of existential shrug of the shoulders as well. Like, we don't know. We don't know. We have to think again about how these things are fitting together.
And just if I can butt in, another interesting thing about the figures were really showing that the housing construction boom is done. It's all over. In fact, dwelling construction actually was a drag on growth in the past quarter and past year even. And while non-dwelling construction picked up a little bit, it's just got such a great deal to make up compared to what it used to be. I was having a look and it's, you know, since its peak, we're talking about $17 billion less non-dwelling construction since sort of the peak of about 2011, I think it was, whereas housing construction has only gone up $4 billion in that time. Now, if you're the Reserve Bank and your job is to try and help get the economy going, you're worried about housing prices already. Do you cut rates to try and get people back building houses again? But, you know, so there's this, you know, real balancing act going on, and think it's the scales are just not finely balanced at the moment. I think if you're the government, you're really hoping that your infrastructure spending and really start sort of kicking in and perhaps bring in some returns.
Dare we
returns,
say pump, but priming the economy?
Yeah.
Donald Trump
invented that phrase, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, he did. Anyway, so we've, again, summarising, we've got economy met, budget forecast stuffed, and our latest insight.
You're getting tougher on the budget forecast the longer this podcast is going along.
That's true, actually. They'll be dead by the time we finish. Anyway, hopefully not, for all our sakes. And we've also discovered, because of the last roundtable, thoughts that who would be an economist. So utterly reasonable. Now, Shane, bearing that all in mind, the difficulties of forecasting anything in the current environment because our forecasting models just aren't what they used to be, or all of these parts don't fit together in the same way they used to. The Treasurer tells us with a degree of enthusiasm quite frequently that the global economy has turned the corner, that after many years of being in the doldrums, obviously GFC and post-GFC, that now we look at the rest of the world and it's coming back with a vengeance. Ipso facto, things will be great for Australia. What do we make of that?
To some extent, he's correct that all the forecasts out there are upbeat relative to where we've been for the past 9 years. So you've got to put that in context, Raya, that we've got to put it into thinking, right, we're better than we were in 2009 when we thought the world was about to end. Well, hey, things are going well. However, one of the biggest things is that this increase in growth is predicated on still extremely low world interest rates. I think I saw today some figures showing that 32% of global bonds are still being sold at a negative. So that tells you that people are still, like, there's all this talk about improvement in economies, but it is still being done off something that is, it is unheralded, the amount of liquidity, the amount of money that's being pumped, primed into the global economy. Somewhere along the line, that's going to come out. We've got, say, we see in the US, if the Donald gets his way on, say, tax cuts or infrastructure spend, Janet Yellen is trying to lift interest rates. She's still below zero, below one. So somewhere along the line, you have to get back to some sort of normality. And that is the risk. So you've got that risk of getting back to normal pricing of money, plus whatever's going on in China. And that is the great unknown about how much bad debt is in China, how much bad debt is being held by local government levels, and how much of that is going to fall over into something that will lead us on the streets burning images of quokkas. I don't know. It'll be that sort of situation.
I did warn you about the quokkas.
The quokka roll. But, and even now, we haven't touched upon the fact that, Raya, the figures on GDP show Australia growing for effectively 26 years without a recession. Okay, you may argue whether it's a record or not, blah.
Greg does argue with
it. But, right, so 26 years ago, Ratcat was number one with Don't Go Now, okay?
He never fails.
There you go.
He never fails.
Don't Go Now. But we've got we're predicating, the budget's predicated on it, that our economic expansion will continue for another 4 years uninterrupted. The US is already into a record expansion without a recession. And you're predicating the rest of the world to defy what has gone on for another 3 to 4 years. It is like Like, it is like asking Rat Cat to come back, reform and produce number one records again. Well, that's how big an ask it is.
And what would be wrong with that?
That ain't bad.
That ain't bad. That's right.
The answer is nothing would be wrong with that. That is the answer.
Well, Gareth is just going, who the hell is Rat Cat? And do you have anything to kill them? I don't know.
Yeah, Gareth's fallen away with this element of the conversation, but he won't. What other thoughts?
The good thing is we've got a steady hand on the tiller in the US, so there's no worries there.
And I'm thinking of Janet Yellen, not on the dome.
Well, I mean, one of the problems with the predictions that things are going to get better in the US is, like, for example, the IMF, when it did its last outlook, was suggesting that Trump was going to do this big infrastructure spend, $1 trillion infrastructure spend, and it turns out it's probably not quite as advertised. In fact, his
a bit like the Saudi arms deal.
Well, his infrastructure spend seems to be more he'll offer some tax cuts, but also just he thinks the states should do more, you know, and it really hasn't come in the way that it was expected. It was going to be this huge, big government spend, and it's not that at all.
So, all to pay nothing underneath.
Yeah. But definitely things are better than they used to be. And one of the reasons why, but in some ways it's well, not a negative, but yes, the rest of the world might have turned the corner, but they've actually turned the corner in front of us. 3 months ago, Scott Morrison and Malcolm Turnbull were bragging about how our economy is growing faster than any G7 nation. They can't say that anymore.
Yeah, there was no mention by the Treasurer of anybody else.
That talking point has been ditched. We're very much at the sort of in the sort of back of the pack of other OECD nations at the moment.
The Treasurer had to resort to Bruce Springsteen talking about better days ahead. Better days, baby. Yeah.
So, you know, look, we're not going backwards, although what we did in per capita GDP terms, if you really want to get down to it. But the worry for me is just where is that nice surge that you know doesn't go on forever, but it's just enough to get you buoyant again and up, everyone feeling good, get a bit of an increase in your wages, and then you settle back to the average. We're just not getting that, and economies kind of need that.
Yeah, and the problem with turning corners is that you can turn a corner into oncoming traffic.
Or into Senate gates.
Yes, let's not reflect on that. Anyway, I think we've traversed the territory very nicely. Thank you very, very, very much to my fiscal drags here in the pod cupboard, to Greg and to Gareth and to Shane. Bless your cotton socks. This podcast is produced by the marvellous Miles Martignoni, who also produces other podcasts for Guardian Australia, including Behind the Lines. You can go looking for that in the same way that you look for us. You can, if you like the series, don't just download us off the network front page of Guardian Australia. Do go and subscribe on your favourite podcast app. If you're downloading through iTunes, don't forget to leave us a rating or a review. That's a very, very helpful thing. And so, with probably too many facts for any normal person to digest in a single sitting, we'll leave you there. Until we meet again, go well.